With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
EI. Be heard by calling 401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
And welcome back to Cordeschi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. What'd you think of the Super Bowl, by the way, there, Mr. Coit? I mean, I wanted to see a good game, and I saw one. And that was most important to me. I really didn't care who won. I was kind of rooting for Jimmy G to get himself a Super Bowl ring on his own. It didn't happen, but I really just wanted to see a good game, and that's what we saw.
I think it kind of played out the way I felt like it was going to play out, which was, you know, the Chiefs were going to be hanging around, and then Mahomes, the best player in the field, was going to rise, and he did.
Yep.
You know, and obviously he had some help with his teammates, but he was a deserving MVP. He's a future of the Chiefs. He's a future of the league. You know, it's a good night for the league when your future star is shining like that.
Is the criticism of Kyle Shanahan gagging again appropriate?
Oh my goodness, yes. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I hate to say it, if the shoe fits, pal, you got to wear it.
And one time is, you know, isolated, but you start doing it two, three times, now we have what's called a trend, Scott.
So here's the issue. I have a couple of issues, though. He did call some good plays that Jimmy G missed, okay?
He did.
In his defense. But here's the two issues I had with Shanahan, and they're both time management, clock issues,
okay?
One of them was at the end of the first half, and you could see, what's his name in the press box, John Lynch, signaling timeout. He didn't call it. Now I'm going to take you through what I think his mindset was, and I understand that, but it still doesn't excuse what he did after the fact. So Kansas City's lining up to punt near midfield, okay? So you could argue you call a quick timeout, and you're going to get almost a minute and a half worth of time to maybe go down the field and kick a field goal before halftime, right? That double Patriot possession, score at the end of the half, score when you come out to start the third quarter because they got the kickoff to start the second half. But I think he's thinking there's a good chance we're going to get pinned inside our 10-yard line, and it's too risky to do anything down there. So I just assume get into the halftime locker room, make whatever adjustments we need and come out and put together a good opening drive of the third quarter. I think that's what was going through his mind. As it turned out, Kansas City did a piss-poor job of covering that punt. It goes into the end zone for a touchback. Now they've got it at the 25. So now it's, what, just under a minute to go. I'm like, okay, 25-yard line. You got some breathing room. You got to come out and do something. They run the ball on first down, and they take their sweet-ass time. And I'm like, what are you doing? It wasn't until like one or two plays later they decided, holy crap, we have a chance at a field goal or something here. His clock management at the end of the first half was atrocious. I'm going to take it one step further. At the end of the game, they get the ball with two and change to go, maybe 240, something like that, and they're down by a touchdown. Now, I'll grant you, that amount of time with the timeouts that they had remaining is plenty of time to go down the score and field. So you can make the argument, well, you don't have to rush. True. But on the first down play, I think they ripped off a big run. And all of a sudden, they're taking their sweet-ass time getting up to the line of scrimmage. And I'm saying, what are you doing? I thought they were going to let it go down to the two-minute warning. They didn't. They got a snap off, but they got called for a penalty, so they got backed up 5 yards. You remember that play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My point was this. I understand you have a lot of time, and you get the two-minute warning, and you get your timeouts left, so it's no need to rush. But I would argue that this is the biggest moment in the biggest game of the year, and you're putting pressure on that opposing defense. You just ripped off a big run against them. Hurry up to the line of scrimmage and keep the damn pressure on them. Make them feel like they're back on their heels, and it's like, uh-oh, you know, are we going to be able to hold on here? I hated the way that he managed the clock at the end of the first half and on that drive when they were only down 7 with like 2:40 to go. I thought he did a terrible, terrible job.
I'll take it one step further, Scott.
Okay.
So I was just looking this up here on the box score because I was trying to remember this correctly. So Kansas City scores in the fourth quarter with about, let's say, 6:13 left, okay?
Hill touchdown?
Yeah, it cut it to 3. It cut it to 20-17 San Francisco, okay? They get the ball, and what happens with 6 minutes to go? So they run the ball in first down with Mostert. Then second down, shotgun, Garoppolo, incomplete, Kittle. Third down, Garoppolo, incomplete, Bourne. And they punt. They took just about a minute off the clock, okay?
Yep.
In the middle of the fourth quarter, when you're still leading by 3 points, you didn't bleed any clock.
Leading by 4 points, right? Is it 24-20?
No, it was 20-17 at
that point. Oh, 20-17, I got you.
San Francisco was leading at that point,
Scott. Right.
And so the Niners didn't bleed. They ran it on first down, but then two passes, and they barely took any time off the clock.
It took a minute three off the clock.
Barely put the pressure on Kansas City there.
Right.
There it is again. Like, and Shanahan fell in love with passing in the fourth quarter against the Patriots when he was offensive coordinator with the Falcons. It was weird to me because I thought at the end of the first half, you know, when they were having that indecision as to what to do, to me, Scott, that showed a lack of trust in your quarterback.
Oh, I agree.
And that's bad. You talk about, you know, having trust in this young guy and, oh, Jimmy's the guy to lead us, and that's how you put the faith in him? Like,
yep.
Let the kid go out there and now I know that Jimmy himself missed some throws during the game. I thought in the first half, though, I thought he was pretty good. For maybe the first three quarters, I thought he was pretty good. It was the fourth quarter when the heat was on that, you know, he didn't connect. How much differently would we be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo right now and today if he had hit Emmanuel Sanders, who was wide open with just under 2 minutes to go? We would be talking about this. Now, I think
no doubt about it.
Mahomes would have had a lot of time left.
Steve
Formasona
wasn't happy with that miss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Manny just missed the prop bet, didn't he?
Something like
that.
Yes,
he just missed it.
38 yards or something?
Oh, and that would have made it. And that was completely on Jimmy. That was absolutely completely on Jimmy. Sanders was there. He overthrew him.
Yep.
And he knew it. Sanders knew it right when the ball was coming to him.
And so did Shanahan. Did you see his reaction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had it. They absolutely had it. And Jimmy has made some good throws during this season, but wow, that was tough. They put the ball in Jimmy's hands at that point, and it didn't work out. So, yeah, a lot of things went wrong for the Niners, but some of them were, as you mentioned, some self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, Kansas City showed some resolve. They showed some grit down the stretch. And you want to talk about time management issues? It was Shanahan this time, and it wasn't Andy Reid, who we talked about legacies in the last couple weeks. How much do we feel differently about Andy Reid now that he has a ring, he has his Super Bowl? I think that boosts his resume tremendously.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
No doubt. All right. 401-737-1287, the phone number. The text line is 37937. We're going to get into the Brady stuff in just a moment. But right now, let's go to the phone calls, and we'll say hello to JP calling from Route 44. Good morning, JP. You're first up on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Scott, right now I'm in Stop and Shop, and that stupid thing that checks the floors is following me around. It looks like a defensive
back. Oh, that's so creepy, isn't it, JP?
I think he could have covered Tariq Hill better than put Sherman on him.
That thing is it.
What is it, like an automated floor cleaner or something?
It's like a big, tall, like, and he's got eyes. They put like googly eyes on it. And I remember I was in the Stop and Shop last weekend, and I'm standing there. I was picking up like milk and OJ, and all of a sudden I just hear beep, beep. I turn to my right. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Like, he was standing right there. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
You know what's really good at Stop and Shop? And I got it for the Super Bowl. I got it a lot during NFL Sundays.
What?
Those $5 buckets of like boneless wings.
Oh, really?
Seriously. They have them in like every flavor you want. Buffalo, barbecue, Parmesan, garlic, teriyaki, you name it.
Okay.
$5 bucket. And let me tell you something. You get like 3 to 4 meals out of it. There's a ton.
I made Nick Coit's famous buffalo chicken dip for the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Oh, we housed that at the Coit compound, I'll tell you.
All right, I'm sorry, JP.
Ahead,
we digress.
JP. Yes.
No, that's okay. Shanahan could have used that robot to tell him to run the ball in the second half. He turned into Andy Reid. It's amazing how time management. He should have stood there and Rick just keep running the ball, hammering the ball, and then he puts his slowest defensive back because he's got a big name on him to put him on the fastest guy in the league, and everybody knew what was going to happen. As far as the game itself, I heard that the NFL is going to do away with replays and just hire the Fox halftime camera crew to cover the games because, boy, they can get some details in there that were better than the replays, and you could see some amazing that you can get that camera work, but you couldn't see things during the game. But Andy Reid outcoached him. He Belichicked him. He outcoached him in the second half. Time management was – high school coaches were screaming, run the ball again, run it again, get up to the line, get them tired and run it. So I'm just amazed at the ball in the second half. And, you know, I thought San Fran was going to win. So the first half looked great. They went brain dead time management in the second half. And my other quick point, Danny stood pat. Everybody says it's a bad thing, but he just told his team, you know what, I got the team that I want, and go out there and do it. Took a gutsy move. He never makes the moves, but you know what? He didn't feel pressured to do it. I'm excited to see what happens.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. JP, thank you for the phone call. And you're right. Andy Reid definitely won the coaching matchup. There's no doubt about it. And it started early in the game. On Kansas City's second drive of the game, right, because they got held on their first drive. On their second drive of the game, they've got a 4th-and-1, I think, at like the 5-yard line. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going for it. And they pick up the first down, and they end up scoring a touchdown. That's a guy that's coaching like, hey, this is the Super Bowl. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to do everything we can to win this game, as opposed to, I don't know. You know, to me, the uncertainty, the air of uncertainty with Shanahan, whereas Reed's like, nope, we're here. Big game, we're aggressive.
Wasn't one of those 4th downs where they ran Mahomes to the right on the option, he made that pitch?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved that play call. Loved it. That's what you do.
Yep.
You have that offense. You have, oh, look, Andy Reid is a coach that put trust in his quarterback to go out there and make the plays that he needed to.
By the way, did you think I did? And I was disappointed, very disappointed with Fox. I thought Damian Williams was out of bounds on that play that they let stand as a touchdown.
Yes, I think so, too.
Was that the one that put him
it was
up
really close.
24-20, I think?
It was really, really close.
It was very close. But, you know, Fox, they show the replay, but then they stop it, but they don't, like, they should have backed it up one frame to see when his toe was just off the ground to show us where was the football. I thought they did a miserable job of showing that replay to try to let you know, was it a touchdown, was it not a touchdown? I didn't think it was. I mean, I don't know that it would have mattered, but to me it looked like he had just stepped out before the nose of that football broke the plane of the goal line.
You mean you couldn't NBC it like you can on Sunday Night Football?
That's right.
Well, that's honestly, that's one of their highlights of their broadcast, is they can zoom in on something like that,
yep,
like whatever they're using for camera work. It's, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Would it have mattered? I don't know, because of the way that Kansas City was moving the ball at that point. You know, Williams really had
I thought he should have been Super Bowl MVP, in my opinion. I know, look, the league, everybody wants to anoint Patrick Mahomes as the next face of the league, and I get it, but I thought that Damian Williams deserved it.
Yeah, I think you could make a case for either or. It's not like Mahomes got it by default. I think he played really well, especially down the stretch. So, you know, I'm okay. Like, there's some times where you look and a quarterback gets Super Bowl MVP and you're like, really? He's the guy? Because this guy probably deserved it more.
Now, I'll tell you what, they did miss some calls, like hands to the face or head of Jimmy G.
Yeah.
See, they missed some calls in that game too, the officials.
There were some misses.
But
no holding calls in the Chiefs' offensive line either.
Yeah, I thought more of the missed calls, unfortunately, went against the 49ers than they did the Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right, let's say hello to Dan in Cranston. Dan, good morning. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Let me just readjust. I got to loosen the rope a little bit around my neck.
Oh.
Standing on a chair right now.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, 2.8. You got that number?
2.8. Okay.
Worst fourth quarterback rating in Super Bowl history.
Uh-oh.
Got to own it, baby.
KC brought the pressure, and Jimmy G did not handle it well.
It's funny. It's amazing how the narrative changes when Garoppolo's most likely the MVP 3.5 quarters in, mm-hmm. and Mahomes is the one who's taking the pipe.
Yep.
And then it switches around completely. It's just amazing how much, you know, I go in it. You know, right now he's basically Jared Goff, Matt Ryan. You know, you never know if he's going to get back. There's serious damage done to these guys. First time Super Bowl, and then, you know, he's almost, like people have said, he almost would have been better off losing in the divisional round, because when you lose it your first time in, you almost never get back there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, too. You look in recent years, Super Bowl losers, what happens to them the next year?
Yeah,
it's usually not pretty. Not only do they not get back to the Super Bowl, a lot of teams don't even make it to the postseason the next year. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen to San Fran or not, but it could.
I think they're too good. I think especially defensively, they got too much talent there. They're going to be in the mix.
All right. Well, let me get to my main. I've called a couple times a year about the prick, as I like to call him. Joe said I could use this word. So it's deep rooted. Now, I couldn't stand his Mr. Ed overbite fake tan of a father to begin with, who was an arrogant prick himself.
Okay.
Mike.
Yeah.
And I don't like Kyle Shanahan. I don't like him even at the beginning. I don't like him, period.
Okay.
So his arrogance starts. Mostert's been the best running back since pretty much week 8 for them, right?
Yep.
Yet who is starting the first two series of the game? Tevin Coleman.
That was weird to me, too.
He's been doing it all year. I watch these guys every week. These are the things that drive me up a freaking wall. Okay? Now, you've already gone over most of the stuff that I'm talking about, but Scott, easily 145, the only person on the planet who is not calling a timeout, like you said, his boss is in the goddamn box screaming, call a timeout.
Yep.
And it was more, I didn't believe it first, but that was playing around your quarterback. That had nothing to do with field position. That was just, don't want to risk anything before halftime.
Yep.
That's what it was about. All right? So I'm apoplectic at this point, okay? And, like, I'm sitting there saying this is going to cost them the game. This is going to cost them the game. You defer the coin toss for that exact scenario. So you get the ball with a chance to score, and that's two possessions in a row. That's why you defer the goddamn coin toss to begin with. All right? So clock keeps ticking, and I'm like, I cannot believe what I'm watching. I am, like, literally want to jump through the TV and, like, strangle this guy to death. And so what happens? They get the ball. They run, like you said, Scott, right? And then they run again. And then Kansas City calls a timeout. And then they're forced to throw. And what happens? Two throws, okay, ticky-tack, pass interference call. They're on the goddamn 15-yard line. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They just threw away points.
Yep.
That's what they did. They threw away. You're playing to lose, not to lose.
Hello?
Which means you're going to lose.
Play to win the game.
Right. You're in the freaking Super Bowl. And the funny thing is, all year long, if that was a scenario, they would be playing for points. He just, I don't understand what goes through his stupid head when this, I didn't swear, when this stuff happens.
Good man.
So let's just extrapolate that out for a minute. Let's just say there is no pass interference. So let's just say they get a field goal, okay? Towards the end of the game, when Kansas City goes up 24-20, you're only down 24-23. You don't have to go for a touchdown at that point of the game. There is no deep post pattern to Manuel Sanders because you wouldn't have freaking needed it.
Good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Good point.
Yep.
And And then towards the end of the game, when they were on their when they were down 24-20, and it was 3rd and 10, right? They still have two timeouts.
Yeah.
Call a freaking timeout when you go for the 4th down play. He just panics. He gets up there. They get in a horrible formation. They go 3 wide, and there's 5 guys covering. The play was destined to fail no matter what. Why not call a timeout and get the right play? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The guy just sucks when it comes to time management. And he did it during the year a half a dozen times as well. He's a great, innovative offensive play caller, but he is a horrible, horrible time management and feel for the game, or he just panics. Don't forget, he's the guy that's yelling in Jimmy's helmet with the plays. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's probably not making Jimmy any more comfortable when God knows what the hell he's screaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just I can't stand him. This is a very hard team for me to root for with this prick being the coach. Seriously. And you know what? I wish to Christ that they would just release him. There's talk of, oh, I know it's not going to happen, obviously.
Not going to happen.
No. But if they cut him tomorrow, I would be the happiest guy in the world because you know exactly where he'd be going. And the thing is, if he plays for the Patriots in that game, they're not doing that crap before the end of the first half.
No way.
This stuff wouldn't happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is easily top three worst moments for me in sports.
And the other
easily.
Reason, too, so I'll go back to my explanation, what I think he was thinking before halftime. He's thinking, we're probably going to get pinned inside our 10-yard line, so it's a little dangerous operating in that area. You know, if you throw the ball, maybe we just need to get into the locker room and then make our adjustments and come out and have a good opening drive of the third quarter. But the flip side of that is this, okay? Your team has arguably the best defense in the National Football League. So what's the worst-case scenario if you do get pinned inside your own 10-yard line and you go three and out and you have to punt it? Don't you have confidence that your defense can stop Kansas City with, like, 30 seconds going until halftime?
He actually said in the post-game press conference when they asked him at first, he goes, he didn't want Mahomes to get the ball back. That's what he said.
Okay, and is he forgetting what his defense is like? Like, that's showing no respect to your defense. Nick said how it showed that he has no confidence in Garoppolo, some of the things that he did in the game. Steve, to me, that shows no confidence in your great defense.
Steve Young was playing Pebble Beach this week, and they asked him about it. And he goes, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm saying you know what I mean? You just don't think I can do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, if it was me, he goes, I'd be BS. He goes, it's just, I think it was more they just didn't trust the quarterback, to be honest with you. It's just inexplicable to me that whole scenario. I think Jimmy was acting out. He was like a puppet for Kyle Shanahan. He didn't make the throws. I get it, but I think the frenetic pace or what was going on with him was directly the guy that was screaming in his helmet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the guy just sucks as a head coach. I mean, here's the thing. They're talking about he's this great coach, okay? He's 21-6 with Garoppolo, and he's what, 4-25 without him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So okay, let's just release him and see where you go. You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, you know, Jimmy sucked in the fourth quarter. I get it, you know, but he was 18-21, 7.5 minutes left in the game. You know what I mean? It's just. It's going to take a long time to get over this one. A long time, because it was there for the taking. And, you know, I mean, the defense collapsed too, but you can't put it all on them. And hats off to Frank Clark. You know, he was a big mouth, but he came up really big when they needed him. And Mahomes came up big too. When it was 3rd and 15 and they made that 40-yard pass to Hill, that's pretty much when I knew it was over for sure too.
Dan, in the words of Third Eye Blind, step back from the ledge, my friend.
Well, let's just say, as far as for total effect, this is for hyperbole, but honestly, the way I feel about the head coach, on Sunday night, I was like, get cancer and die in so I can piss on your grave.
Oh.
Now I've walked back. Now it's just get cancer and die. Okay. I hate this guy.
Wow.
I freaking hate this guy. I just wish Jimmy, I have to root for him, and hopefully things will work out, but man, that guy is the douches of all douches. I wish I could take his flat brim hat and rip it over his head and just punch him in the face.
All right, Dan.
You got something with hat, flat brim hats, Danny?
Yeah. I don't know how to follow up Dan's last comments there.
Yeah. Step back from
Let's
the
just
ledge,
leave it at this.
Yeah.
He's upset.
Give me some Third Eye Blind when we come back.
We'll take a break. We're a little bit behind taking breaks here. We'll take a break back with more Cordishy and Coy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.